Well, welcome, and a very, very special welcome to Dr. Tom Reynolds, who has already graced us at the piano, and it's going to be a music-filled morning, and we can't thank you enough for being here, Tom. Welcome. Also joining me in worship is our organ scholar, Candace Broussard, and our soloist, Jennifer Robbins. Kristen is on a trip to Ottawa with her son, who is playing soccer, so hopefully they have a successful time. We are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing, to gather, to learn, grow, and serve. And all are welcome, including children who have obviously found their way to their play spot at the back. We are grateful to gather on sacred land, territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and the Mississaugas of the Credit. In the spirit of Jesus Christ, who calls us to be the church and to celebrate God's presence, let us worship. Please join me in the call to worship, which you will find in your bulletin. Come to worship. Come and be spiritually nourished. We come as families, neighbors, friends, and acquaintances, each one an important part of the community of faith. Come to worship with one another, with all whom God has sent among us. We come as the body of Christ, rejoicing with each other in our joys, suffering with one another in our sorrows. We come to worship God. Let us sing Voices United 93, When Heaven's Bright with Mystery.
Thank you.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors in whatever way you are comfortable with our greeting of peace. Let us take a few moments of silence as we enter into our gathering prayer. And to facilitate our silence, just take a moment to feel where your body is being supported in the pew. Maybe feel your feet inside your shoes, maybe where your back is touching the pew. And either let your gaze fall to the floor or simply close your eyes. And notice how your breath continues in and out, whether you're aware of it or not. Holy One, for you alone, our souls wait in silence. Settle our thoughts and hearts until they rest in you. For you alone, our souls wait in silence. May we trust you in all the circumstances of our lives, the places that need change, the places that need acceptance, the wisdom, grace, and gratitude to know the difference. For you alone, our souls wait for a new song. Amen. Let us pray. As Jesus taught us to pray, O loving parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As has become our custom, we have these few moments of opening the theme while Candace will play for us. And the question that Kristen has given us, and it's from a poet, Judy Brown. She writes, "What makes a fire burn is space between the logs, a breathing space." So, what are the breathing spaces in your life right now? Are there breathing spaces in your life right now that help your soul come alive? Or maybe what breathing spaces might help your soul come alive? We'll take a few moments of individual reflection. Amen. Let us sing again, Voices United 780. My soul finds rest in God alone. I invite Jim to come forward for our reading.
For you alone, my soul waits in silence. My hope is from the Beloved, enfolding me with strength and steadfast love. My faith shall remain firm. In the silence rests my freedom and my guidance. For you are the heart of my heart. You speak to me in the silence. Trust in love at all times. O people, pour out your heart to the beloved. Let silence be a refuge for you. Being of low estate is but a sigh. Being of high estate is misleading. In the balance, either high or low is of little consequence. They're gone in one breath. Riches, whether obtained by right or through extortion, rarely lead to naught but greed. Set not your heart on them. Once you have spoken, twice have I heard. Our potential gifts belong to you. To you, O beloved, belongs our faithful love. For you render to us all that we offer to you. Fear begets fear. Love begets love. For you alone, my soul waits in silence. For from the beloved comes life, love, and light.
Good morning. Wow, that's lively. Thank you, thank you. I chose to stand here at the piano today because I'd like us to think about some things musically. But first, I want to thank you for the invitation. It's great to see Anne again, and it's great to be at Rosedale. And greetings from Emmanuel College, where I teach theology there. Greetings also from St. Andrews United, where I would be playing piano this morning otherwise. So I'll do a little piano here to kind of resonate with what might be going on there. But it's really a delight to be here, and I thank you for the invitation. And I understand you've been asking the question, what if, in a series. So I'd like to riff today, and I'd like to deliberately use the word riffing to employ jazz music as an example. I'd like to riff with the question, what if, and ask, what if we imagine things musically? My soul waits for you, God, in silence. Silence is part of music. What if we imagine our lives musically, our connection to God, our connection with each other, musically? What if? And I love the question, what if, because it's a possibility question. It's a question that basically says things don't have to be the way they are. They're not naturally that way. We can remake them together, like a jazz combo remakes the music together in each performance, co-creating. So what if we imagine things musically? First, my soul waits in silence for you, O God. It's the space between the logs that makes the fire. And as Miles Davis once said, it's the space between notes that make the music. He once said in his whispery voice, play what's not there. Well, how do you play what's not there? Well, if you think about music as it's written, there's tons of space between the notes. Rhythm depends on space between the notes. Silence between the notes. The music of God is a music not just of a constant sound, but of rhythm and space between the notes. Where is the space in the music of God happening in our lives? Where is there silence? I can confess my frenetic pace sometimes doesn't allow the music to emerge in my own life because I'm not allowing space. But with silence comes the theme of listening. So the question is, my soul waits in silence. It's not just an empty silence, a static silence that's a vacuum, but it's a space of attentive listening. also a virtue in jazz performance. Listening, what's happening in the music, but the silence is what makes listening possible. Without silence, there can be no listening. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a theologian I particularly like, and I say this in all my classes, has a quote that says, we should listen to the ears of God in order that we might speak the word of God. But so often I'm full of my own words, I'm full of my own music, what I want, and instead of waiting in silence with ears attentive to the music that might be going on in life, I'm full of my own agenda, marching forward. My soul waits in silence, the space between the notes that actually makes the music possible. And my soul waits in listening, which is a generative kind of silence. But what kind of listening is this? If we play with the music metaphor, music is about connection. Notes build connection between each other. So what kind of music are we waiting for if we go with the music metaphor today? Harmony is often used. Okay, what happens when two notes vibrate together, there's a resonance between them. Much like fire with logs, it's the space that gets the oxygen going. The resonance between notes creates harmony, creates a certain tone. In fact, we know that music's going on everywhere. One of my favorite places to go is Taylor Creek over there on the East End. And the sound of the water is like an orchestra to me. The sound of the water, it isn't just the water making the sound, it's actually the rocks. It's actually the relationships between things and the vibration that happens in that relationship that makes the music of the water. If we open our ears, there's music going on all around us in life. But it's not always pure harmony. We think of harmony as consonants. I mean, the Apostle Paul, time and again, speaks love and build perfect harmony. So we think, let's all be nice to each other and make harmony. Well, I'm not encouraging us to be mean, but what if we rethink harmony in terms of tension between differences? Two things in their differences resonate together only because they're different. And it's the tension that creates the sound. Much like the tension of the spring on the piano. The coils of the wire are so intensely that they make the sound that we recognize as a note only because of the tension. Yeah. The sound between things resonates. But harmony isn't just a static, flat consonance. It's actually full of dissonance. What if we think of our relationships with one another, our relationships to God, not as, one of placidness, where we're simply flat, I would say, a straight line, but a wiggly one, one that's got constant curves, one that's full of dissonance, that actually invites music. It's the tension between the notes on a piano that actually invites harmony. So I'll give an example here that I often do when I'm speaking of jazz. Let me just play. Now there's some tension between notes. You think, that's not musical. But actually, there's all kinds of generative possibility. Harmony isn't the erasing of the differences, but the generative remaking of their relationship together. So let me give an example of how even that dissonance is actually an invitation to further harmony, with other notes coming alongside of and supporting. So. Tension there, and composers are beautiful at bringing out further harmony and making music of the natural tension between notes. Even the tension in a basic chord, those aren't one note, those are three notes that make a basic chord, which sounds consonant, but actually at one time, that was dissonance in the history of Western music. That caused people to cringe, much like you might have cringed with that. So it's relative to what other notes are made possible alongside so that music can happen. So the question is, where is there tension and dissonance going on that invites our proactive making music with our lives? Where is there tension that invites further harmonization? I can think of several ways that this plays out. Relationships. Where there's tension, there's a call to working together to resolve. Much like in music, there's tension which moves towards resolving and resolution. I can also think about it, my soul longs for God in silence. That's a tension, but it's actually a generative one that builds further movement into my hunger for life in the divine. Where is there music in your life that is dissonant, not as something to be erased, but as something actually to be generative, a spiritual calling into deeper music? There's a great book, and I always have to bring props, books. It's an older book, it's a now classic book, and I brought it in case you're interested in it. A beautiful book by Mary Catherine Bateson called Composing a Life. And in this book, she talks about life as a composition, an ongoing composition, and makes connection with jazz through the lives of five extraordinary women who are constantly reinventing, pivoting, adapting, improvising to compose out of the dissonances, experiences of frustration, or even experiences of joy that invite redirection and riffing, to use the jazz metaphor, with life. She uses the metaphor of jazz, and I have a bunch of quotes I may use, but she uses the metaphor of jazz to talk about spontaneous composition, which is what jazz is all about as improvising. If there's dissonance, we're invited to riff, to make sense of the music and play other kinds of notes in our relationships, in our lives, with that. Reinventing, adapting, making music, and through our own lives, it's a constant composing. But what's a composition but a configuration of tensions? Compositions move in directions towards resolutions, but they invite tension. A basic one is, and if I just left it there, you sort of anticipate what? Resolution. So there's a story in sound. There's a kind of story in sound happening in your life. That's the point of Bateson's sort of creative way of looking at how we compose. We're actually improvising in our lives together, but in our lives on the journey, individually as well. In that composition, tension is turned into creative possibilities. Where is the silence happening that actually opens up our ears to hear the tension so that we might compose in our life beautiful music? In this, there's risk. There's risk of failure, of wrong notes, of not responding. So it requires a kind of responsiveness on our part to where the music is calling us. And I'll speak theologically here, where the Spirit might be calling us. The prophets of old responded to God's call, "Where are you?" with the answer, "Here I am." God's music is happening. Are we listening to respond, "Here I am," and play our own instruments, the instruments of our life, composing and improvising? In a jazz context, say if there are other musicians besides the piano, there's always risk involved. But one of the beautiful pieces about being in community in a jazz combo is that the players support one another. I was playing music yesterday, and there was a time in the music where I wasn't sure where the beat was. So I stopped, and I listened for a while. Oh, there it is, and then re-entered. I also make mistakes, but thankfully the bass player or the drummer supports that so that the music doesn't stop and fall apart, but it actually becomes something that supports me in my own music making. It's a great model of community, supporting one another in our listening, in our composing of life, holding each other up, not erasing differences, but actually building on them as generative invitations to a deeper mutuality together in making music. A great story that I like to tell is Miles Davis again. And this story is told by Herbie Hancock, and I love telling this story. It's in his book, Possibilities, where he was playing one night. He's a fabulous jazz pianist. And he was playing one night, and the music was amazing. Everything seemed to be going just the right way. And then he hits a chord. He looks down and he suddenly becomes shocked. It was the wrong chord. And he thought, I've ruined it. The music is now going to unravel. But to his shock and delight, Miles Davis was paying attention. He was listening. And he played a note that made Herbie Hancock's wrong chord on the piano right. That note actually opened up the music to new possibilities. The music became richer, more vitalized, because Miles was paying attention to what Herbie was playing and responded like a call and response, responded to that and improvised so as to hold up the music. It's about the music. It's not about egos in the group. And in that, the music took on a new life. That's a beautiful model of community. That's a beautiful model of being in relationships. One teacher once told me there's no wrong notes, just wrong resolutions. And the resolutions we find together in improvising. Improvising together. I mean, we all do improvisation. An ordinary conversation is improvising. I don't plan a conversation in advance. That would be a pretty boring one. But we improvise. I respond to you, and vice versa, and the music happens that way. But to risk like this means the possibility of failure and vulnerability and a kind of openness that is open to possibility and even failure. As somebody who lives with depression, I think about failure a lot and what it means and how my own life calls me into cadences of waiting and silence, waiting for the music to happen and allowing others to come alongside and support me in that journey. So I invite you to think of your life musically. Where is your soul waiting for God? How might listening emerge so that you might respond to God's call through and with each other and risk possibilities and spiritual vitality in the spirit anew? It's no accident that the psalmist sings, sing a new song to God out of joy, a new song, new possibilities, not held captive to broken pasts, but open again anew in the future through the power of the Spirit and the liveliness of the music. Jazz may be not your favorite kind of music, but I use that as an example. And music is vitalizing in so many different ways. So I invite you to think of your life and where you might be willing to be unsettled, to take risks, to hear dissonance as an invitation into composing a life together. I'll conclude with just a few chords of possibility for me, and I'll improvise them.
Let us pray. Holy One, we come this day searching for you. Remind us that we are already found deep in your heart. We confess that we too often have searched for you in the wrong places. We may feel unworthy or not in need of your loving guidance and presence. May we trust that you take us as we are, where we are, loving us into the fullness of life. You call us to follow in many ways, some to witness with public deeds of justice and community care, some to do the quiet work of companionship, others to sing your love in magnificent song. In this music-filled place today, nourish us in these various ways of being and serving. May we experience the liberating joy and music of your presence. We pray for others who live life in places where life is much harder than we will ever know. For those inadequately housed and fed in our own city and country. We pray for our elected officials that they may work to make our city and country a more humane place for all. We pray for those suffering the effects of war, Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, and all the other places that we no longer hear about. Show those of us who have so much how we can continue to bring love and justice to others, how we can support healing in our community and world. We pray these things in your name. Amen. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And as Cadence plays, as has become our custom, you are welcome to light a candle for someone or yourself. There is water in our baptismal font and in this bowl. Should you want to renew your own baptismal vow, feel free.
Thank you.
Let us sing again, Voices United 342, You Servants of God. On your behalf, I thank Tom and for bringing us his music. And as we leave, I invite us all to listen to the music that's already in us, planted there by the divine.
And may that life-giving and liberating music bring joy and open our ears so that we may improvise together with God in our lives, bringing peace and justice.
Amen. See you.